Well, here we go, folks. You know what I'm going to say, so let's get to it. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is the book of Exodus, or Shemot, chapter 20. 38, rather, verse 20 is where last week's portion ended. So we'll start in the next verse, which is verse 21, and it says, Ale Pekudai. So the portion, the first unique word here is Pekudai, which means these, the accounts, or the records of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, even the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were rendered according to the commandment of Moshe, through the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. And it goes on to say that Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, tribe of Judah, he made all that Yahuwah had commanded Moshe. Along with him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, craftsman, skillful workman, weaver in colors in blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. All the gold, here comes the first of the accounts, that was used for the work in all the work of the sanctuary, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents. And 730 shekels, so just a little over 29 talents after the shekel of the sanctuary. And for curiosity's sake, about the best I've been able to determine, there's quite a bit of variance in what these ancient weights might be, but that's on the order of something along the lines of about 1,500 ounces of gold, so well over 3 million fiat bucks in today's rapidly depreciating paper. All right, the silver, the kesef, of them that were numbered of the congregation, was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels. Again, after the shekel of the sanctuary. So well over 100 talents. A beka head, that's half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that passed over to them, of them that were numbered. That would be from 20 years old and upward. These are the men that would be able to go to war. 603,550 men. That's going to be one of those numbers that is very high profile. It's going to appear in the book of Numbers, of course. And that is the number of men that were recorded that were able, old enough to go to war when the time came. And the 100 talents of silver were for the casting of the sockets of the sanctuary, the sockets of the veil. 100 sockets for 100 talents, a talent apiece. Of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid their capitals, and made fillets for them. The brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And with those things, he made the sockets to the door of the tent of meeting, the brazen altar, the grating for the brazen altar, all the vessels of the altar, and the sockets of the court roundabout, and the sockets of the gate, and the pens of the tabernacle, and all the pens of the court. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 39, and of the blue, the purple, scarlet, they made plaited garments for ministering in the holy place. For they made the garments for Aaron, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. The ephod was made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twined linen. They beat the gold into thin plates, very thin plates. Then they cut it into threads and worked it in the blue, in the purple, and the scarlet, in the fine linen, the work of the skillful workman. They made shoulder pieces for it, though joined together. The two ends were joined together. There was a skillfully woven band upon that, wherewith to gird it on. And it was the same piece, like the work thereof, of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine twine linen. Again, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe, they wrought the onyx stones and closed them in settings of gold, graven with the engravings of a signet, according to the names of the children of Israel. He put them on the shoulder plates of the ephod, to be stones of memorial for the B'nai Israel, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Notice that is a consistent feature here. As Yahuwah commanded Moshe, they did. He made the breastplate, the work of the skillful workman, and the work of the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen. It was square, four square. They made the breastplate doubled, a span the length and a span the breadth of it, since it was doubled. They set in it four rows of stones. A row of, first row, in other words, carnelian, topaz, and smaragd. And then the second row, a carbuncle, sapphire, and an emerald. Third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the final row, the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed with fittings of gold in their settings. And the stones were, according to the names of the B'nai Israel, 12 of them, like their names, with engravings of a signet, each one according to his name, for each of the 12 tribes. They made upon the breastplate plated chains, wreathen work of pure gold, two settings of gold and two gold rings. They put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate, put the two wreathen chains of gold on the two rings at the ends of the breastplate. The other ends of the two wreathen chains, they put on the two settings, and onto the shoulder pieces they went in the forefront of that. Then they made two rings of gold, put them on the two ends of the breastplate and the edge, which was towards the side of the ephod, inward. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two shoulder pieces of the ephod underneath and the front part, close by the coupling thereof, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And if it sounds familiar, this basically is a lot like chapter 27 and around verses 24 through 27. And I guess the interesting thing is always to compare these and note in general that what we're seeing here is that the accounts line up with what it was they were supposed to do. And, of course, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. They bound then the breastplate by the rings of these things unto the rings of the ephod with a thread of blue, that it might be on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate would not be loosed from the ephod, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Then he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, this time all of blue, with a hole in the middle of it, like a coat of mail to put somebody's head through, binding round about it so that it should not be torn. They made the skirts of the robe on those pomegranates of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen. They made bells. And interestingly, this is one of the few places where it doesn't say fine. It just says twined linen. And I hadn't noticed that before, but it's one of those differences that you figure must be important, because elsewhere it makes almost identical wording. So this is different. Then they made bells out of pure gold, put those bells between the pomegranates on the skirts, between them, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, upon the skirts of the robe round about, to minister as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. They made the tunics out of fine linen, woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and the mitre out of fine linen, and the goodly head tires or turbans of fine linen, and the linen breeches of fine twined linen. Then the girdle of fine twined linen, blue, purple, and scarlet, the work of the weaver in colors, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. They made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and they wrote on it, they inscribed it, in other words, like the engravings of a signet, Kadosh Le Yahuwah. Kadosh Le Yahuwah. They tied it onto the thread of blue to fasten it on the mitre above, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. And then it says this, thus was finished all of the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, the Mishkan of the Ohel, basically. And the Bnei Israel made, actually, according to all the Yahuwah commanded Moshe, and so, in fact, they did. They brought the tabernacle unto Moshe, the tent, with all of its furniture, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the covering of ram skins dyed red and of seal skins, the veil of the screen, the ark of the testimony, the staves, the ark cover, the table, the vessels, the showbread, the pure menorah, the lamps thereof, even the lamps to be set in order, all the vessels, the oil for the light, the golden altar, the sweet incense, the anointing oil, the screen for the door of the tent, the brazen altar, its grating, its brass, its staves, all of its vessels, the laver and its base, the hangings in the court, its pillars and sockets, the screen for the gate of the court, the cords, pins, all the instruments of service for the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, the plaited garments for ministering therein in the set-apart place, both for Aaron the Kohen and the garments for his sons to minister in the office of Kohen. According to all the Yahuwah commanded Moshe, it says, so the Bnei Yisrael did. They did all the work. And here comes an interesting conclusion to the chapter. Moshe saw all the work, and behold, they had done it. As Yahuwah had commanded, even so they had done it. And it says, Moshe blessed them. Now, when you read this, I'll admit the sages kind of think about the same things a lot of us probably do. He saw all the work, and behold, they had done it. Well, how about if it says something like they saw the work, and it was tov, it was good. And Moshe, in this case, had commanded it. It was done. That's good. And Moshe blessed them. So it does sound a little bit like Genesis chapter 2, doesn't it? Then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, on the first day of the month you will rear up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So the first day of the first month. Well, that's interesting. That is coming up, according to what we know, here during the time of the spring feast. You shall put therein the ark of the testimony, screen the ark with the veil, bring in the table, set in order the bread, the showbread on it, bring in the menorah and light the lamps, and set the golden altar for incense before the Ark of the Testimony, put the screen on the door of the tabernacle, then set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, then set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, put water in it, and set up the court round about. Hang up the screen of the gate of the court, then take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle, everything that's in it, and you hollow it, all the furniture thereof, and it will be kadosh, set apart, holy. Then you shall anoint the altar of burnt offering, all its vessels, sanctify the altar. The altar shall be kadosh, kadoshim, most holy. And you anoint the laver and its base and set that apart. And then you shall bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then put upon Aaron, pour him, literally, first put the holy garments, then you anoint him, sanctify him, that he may minister to me in the office of Cohen. Then bring his sons, put tunics on them, and you shall anoint them, as you did their father, that they might minister to me in the office of Cohen, and their anointing shall be to them for an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Now, notice, thus did Moshe. According to all the Yahuwah commanded him, so did he. And what's interesting is, as you might suspect, I've mentioned, that appears in here a lot. Matter of fact, the sages and anybody that wants to can count it up 18 times in this one parsha. Came to pass then, in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the Mishkan was reared up. So Moshe reared up the tabernacle, laid its sockets, set the boards up, put the bars up, and reared up the pillars. And then he spread the tent over the tabernacle, put the covering of the tent upon it, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Now, interesting, there is some discussion about this. Is it really suggesting that he put the supports up last and then put the curtains up first, almost like it was being built from the inside out and there was some miraculous help here? I'm not sure, but certainly there are those that read this and look at the language and say, that's what it seems to be implying, and I certainly wouldn't discount that. Right, he put the testimony into the ark, he set the staves on the ark, put the ark cover upon the ark, then he brought the ark into the Mishkan. He set up the veil of the screen, screened the ark of the testimony again, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He put the table in the tent of meeting on the side of the tabernacle to the north, outside of the veil, and then he set a row of showbread in order upon it before Yahuwah, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He put the menorah in the tent of meeting over against the table on the side to the south. He lighted the lamps of before Yahuwah, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Then put the golden altar in the tent of meeting before the veil, before the veil, the burnt incense on it, sweet spices, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He put the screen on the door of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering he set at the door of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. He offered upon it the burnt offering and the meal offering, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Then he set the laver up between the tent of meeting and the altar, put water in it, and that was to be used to wash, so that Moshe and Aaron and his sons might wash their hands and their feet at that place. When they went into the tent of meeting, then when they came near unto the Yahuwah, unto the altar, they should wash, as in fact Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Then he reared up the court around about the tabernacle and the altar, set up the screen to the gate of the court, and it says, so Moshe finished the work. He set it in order. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahuwah literally filled HaMishkan. And Moshe, it says, wasn't even able to go in to the tent of meeting because the cloud abode on top of it, and the glory of Yahuwah literally filled the tabernacle. Notice that on Mount Sinai, it looks like Moshe was able to enter the cloud, but this is a smaller area, and maybe the cloud is denser, but for whatever reason, it was so full, Moshe couldn't even go in. Now, it says, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the Mishkan, we know this, the Bnei Israel journeyed. They went on and on throughout all their journeys, but the cloud wasn't taken up. Well, they didn't journey until it was taken up. And here comes now the last verse in the Parsha, and this is also the last verse in the book of Exodus. And it says, for the cloud of Yahuwah was upon the tabernacle by day, and there was fire therein by night, in sight of all Kol of Beit Israel throughout all their journeys. And that is kind of a stirring way to finish the book, to finish the book. Literally, the cloud leads them. The cloud is there, and the cloud is faithful. It was with them throughout all of their journeys. And, of course, as we finish the not only the Torah portion, but in this case, the book, there is a tradition. I've always thought this was kind of interesting because I love the word. And the traditional statement at the end of a completion of one of the books of the Torah is, Kazakh, Kazakh, Venit, Kazakh. And, of course, the meaning of Kazakh, be strong and of good courage. And that is the advice that they were given. It's the advice that Joshua was given. And it's certainly advice that ought to resonate with us today.
So come out of her, O my people, for the time has come to judge Babylon.